This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Vulture. Optimized cloud compute plans have landed at Vulture to deliver lightning-fast processing power courtesy of third-gen AMD EPYC processors without the I/O or hardware limitations of a traditional multi-tenant cloud server. Starting at just $28 a month, users can deploy general-purpose, CPU, memory, or storage-optimized cloud instances in more than 20 locations across 5 continents. Without looking, I know that once again Antarctica has gotten the short end of the stick. Launch your Vulture optimized compute instance in 60 seconds or less on your choice of included operating systems, or bring your own. It's time to ditch convoluted and unpredictable giant tech company billing practices and say goodbye to noisy neighbors and egregious egress forever. Vulture delivers the power of the cloud with none of the bloat. Screaming in the Cloud listeners can try Vulture for free today with $150 in credit when they visit getvulture.com/morning. That's getvulture.com/morning. My thanks to them for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. A question I've fielded more than a few times lately has been some form of, I've received a job offer from AWS. Do you think I should accept it? As you might imagine from the fact that this is a long-form podcast rant rather than a one-word tweet, the answer is nuanced. I want to start off here by bounding my perspective with a few qualifiers. First, if you currently work at AWS, none of what I'm about to say is intended for you. It's not a critique of your employment choices, nor is it a passive-aggressive way of calling you out. People have reached out to me with the question that I'm setting out to answer, and I've given what I believe to be a balanced and honest response. If you enjoy working at AWS, you do you. I'm thrilled for you. Really. Second, I'm presuming that a lot of what we know about AWS compensation holds true, even in light of the recent changes to the salary cap that they announced. Third, I'm assuming that if you're asking me this question, you already know that, full disclosure, I've personally turned down a job offer from Amazon in the past, that you have multiple competitive options that are generally within the same ballpark as the AWS offer, and you're asking in good faith what is an actual question here. You're not asking me to affirm a decision you've already made that you just want me to say, yes, you're doing great on. If you've made your choice one way or the other, then disregard everything I'm about to say and follow your heart. So let's be real. You're probably listening to this because you want some brutal truths about AWS, so let's begin with those. The reason to take a job is generally, at least in part, due to a sincere desire not to starve to death. If you happen to be independently wealthy and money no longer matters to you, then congratulations, you can skip to the next section. Amazon is first and foremost a retailer. Cloud computing came later. Viewing what feels an awful lot to you like a tech job through the lens of an e-commerce store may seem counterintuitive, but the stock market clearly sees the company that way since its stock price basically ignores AWS but cares very much about how many underpants shipments there were last quarter. As an aside, in my opinion, this further bolsters the argument for splitting AWS into its own company, but that's a topic for another day. With stock grants comprising much of the value of Amazon's compensation packages, paying attention to the macroeconomic environment the company finds itself in is important to understanding the offer. From 2011 through 2020, Amazon's stock price soared almost 1,800%. In other words, every dollar of equity you were granted in 2010 would have been worth $18 by the end of the decade, and that's not too shabby. Those times appear to be changing, though. I'd be remiss not to note that in 2021, a year beset by a global pandemic in which people had more items delivered to them at home than ever before, Amazon stock ended the year up 2.38% from where it started. Meanwhile, Google's stock price soared 65.3% over the same period, while Microsoft was up 52.48%. Let's be clear, however, in 2022, stocks are plunging across the board, which neatly illustrates my point at a more macro level. Whatever the proximate cause, the period of meteoric growth for Amazon stock grants is, if not over entirely, at least no longer anything approaching a guarantee. This slowdown almost certainly played a factor in the compensation changes they announced in February of 2022. being a retailer, first and foremost, also plays into Amazon's benefits and perks, which are notorious for lagging behind those enjoyed by employees at tech companies of similar size. After all, every perk and benefit Amazon offers has to scale to the workers in the distribution centers as well. Understanding that basic fact goes a long way toward understanding the culture you may be walking into. But money is clearly not everything, and past results are not indicative of future performance. Just bear this perspective in mind as you do the math for your own offer. A core belief of Amazon's culture is that it's always day one, as outlined in the now famous 1997 Amazon shareholder letter. If you're unfamiliar with the concept, Amazon has an entire page dedicated to the day one culture on the AWS website. In his 2016 letter to shareholders, Jeff Bezos outlined his thoughts on what day two is. Jeff, what does day two look like? That's the question I just got at our most recent all-hands meeting. I've been reminding people that it's day one for a couple of decades. I work in an Amazon building named Day One, and when I moved buildings, I took the name with me. I spend time thinking about this topic. Day two is stasis, followed by irrelevance, followed by excruciating painful decline, followed by death, and that is why it is always day one. Bezos goes on to add, day two, companies make high-quality decisions, but they make high-quality decisions slowly. This aligns mightily with what I've observed from my outsider perspective of AWS. In my view, there's been a noticeable slowdown in AWS's baseline ability to execute around anything that isn't a hair-on-fire emergency. In fact, everything Bezos said about a day two company looks a lot like the AWS of recent years. I get that that's going to be an inflammatory statement that's likely to evoke a lot of sentiment in both directions, so let me back my point up a bit. Take a look at Jerry Hargrove's excellent History of AWS Services and start scrolling down the list. See how long it takes to get to a service that materially and meaningfully disrupted the way you or any company of which you have significant knowledge conducts its business. There was a time when services like S3, SNS, DynamoDB, CloudFormation, Systems Manager, and oh so many more were revolutionary. They clearly transformed the way a huge swath of companies conducted their business online. There have even been feature releases such as S3 Intelligent Tiering, Systems Manager Parameter Store, and EBS Multi-Attach that dramatically altered the way that we all build systems. But over the past few years, the emphasis has shifted away from launching new transformative things. Instead, the focus is on quality of life features, services targeting specific niches of specific industries, the Amazon basics of other companies' open source offerings, and frankly, multiple repackagings of the same basic capabilities. It feels an awful lot like maintaining the status quo has taken over an Amazon division that at one time was far more dynamic, one that excelled at forcing the rest of us to examine, to really think about the actual goals of what we were trying to accomplish, because it was so clearly showing us a better way to get to those outcomes.
Let's face it, on-call firefighting at 2 a.m. is stressful. So there's good news and there's bad news. The bad news is that you probably can't prevent incidents from happening, but the good news is that Incident.io makes incidents less stressful and a lot more valuable. Incident.io is a Slack-native incident management platform that allows you to automate incident processes, focus on fixing the issues, and learn from incident insights to improve site reliability and fix your vulnerabilities. Try Incident.io to recover faster and sleep more.
Now, taking a step back from the big sweeping picture of Amazon's place in history and the industry at large, let's focus instead on what the day-to-day life at Amazon is like. Though I have my own inside sources on the topic, I'm not here to betray confidences. Instead, I'll point to a January 2022 piece by Bloomberg's Brad Stone. He highlights a statement from a recently departed senior engineering manager who said, turnover was over 20% in 2021 and over 50% in some major AWS units. AWS, of course, gave Stone a nonspecific denial, but the article's claim aligns perfectly with multiple reports from friends of mine who've either left AWS or are considering it. When turnover is that high, there are two concerns. The first is say hello to a heavy workload, because the raw number of people who are leaving leads to concerns about your future work. If you join a team that's experienced 20 to 50% turnover and is having difficulty filling roles, exactly what do you imagine your individual workload is likely to be? AWS works its staff hard at the best of times, I have a hard time imagining that being in an organization with large numbers of open roles going unfilled resembles anything approaching a sustainable work life. And two, say farewell to institutional knowledge, because it's not about the raw number of people who are leaving. Collective institutional experience is walking out the door. A brand new hire may very well bring in a wealth of novel ideas and fresh perspectives, but they're backfilling someone with 7 years of institutional knowledge and historical context who just walked out the door. Something critical is being lost, both in terms of culture as well as operational insight into the organization. Now, I've been very public about why I turned down an AWS job offer myself, and that was due to its ridiculous non-compete agreements. AWS has since sued its former VP of product marketing under the auspices of such an agreement, and as well, they've threatened to enforce it an unknown number of times against folks who are not nearly so well positioned in their careers as to be able to fight it publicly. As a quick refresher as to what I'm talking about, in every jurisdiction that allows it, AWS employees are required to sign a post-employment non-compete agreement that's bound to any company that competes with Amazon. It's ridiculously overbroad and can put a severe dent in your future career plans post-AWS should you go down that path. Be sure to consult an employment attorney before signing anything. I also want to congratulate Microsoft on this one. They've recently stated that they will no longer enforce or require post-employment non-competes for anyone who's not either in an executive leadership position or at least approaching that level. Gold star for you. As always, your position on this issue may differ wildly from mine, and that's okay. I don't begrudge anyone who signs this agreement for their decision. I absolutely do begrudge Amazon leadership for putting their staff in this position in the first place. There is no other tech company that scopes its agreements so broadly. Many, if not most, don't require post-employment non-compete agreements whatsoever from their staff. Now, I don't want to come across as giving a litany about not working at AWS being the right answer. There are, in fact, some benefits to taking an Amazon job. For a long time, the reason to work at Amazon has been you will work incredibly hard, despite being paid marginally less than you would elsewhere, and learn an absolute ton that will be very hard for you to learn anywhere else while having an incredibly massive impact on the world. You'll work at a scale that most folks have a hard time even imagining and that you won't find virtually anywhere else in the world. That's no small thing for teaching valuable architectural lessons that are borderline impossible to get any other way. Amazon's also where some of the best engineers in the industry work and some of the best people you'll ever meet call their professional home. Amazon operates at a scale that few people could effectively imagine, much less work with. And of course, no matter what area of industry you find personally interesting, it's a sure thing that Amazon is either active within it or actively serving customers in that space. Look, you're not going to stay at Amazon forever unless you've already gone whole hog into the realm of corporate true believer. So there's a lot to be said for having a company with AWS's cachet on your resume. It'll open the doors to future opportunities for many folks, particularly those of you who are early on in your career. I'd also caution you to take stories about Amazon's work culture, such as the one that appeared in the New York Times a few years back, with a large grain of salt. Big companies don't have a culture so much as they have thousands of distinct internal cultures. I'm loath to take that article as an accurate description of Amazonian employment culture across the board. Even the most disgruntled employees with whom I've spoken don't recognize a lot of what that article describes. Amazon has been a fascinating company to observe for a long time. Its evolution along multiple axes has been a case study in redefining markets, disruption, vertical integration, expanding into new business areas, and a couple of dozen other things. In business life cycles, companies can reinvent themselves. So while Amazon is living that day two life right now, who's to say that it won't see a day one again? Now, what's the right answer for you? There absolutely is no wrong answer to the question of whether someone should accept an offer from AWS. There are things that Amazon absolutely excels at. On some level, I still regret not having the opportunity to experience being an Amazonian firsthand. I often wonder what it would have been like and whether it would have aligned with my external understanding of both the culture and the company. If you're sitting on an Amazon offer, I simply suggest that you consider the points that I've just outlined as an input to that decision. And this final thought, my snark about opinions my own being Amazon's official motto aside, Amazon's actual motto is work hard, have fun, make history. If you look at those three things and don't see that the AWS job offer is likely to fulfill those for you, I'd probably pass on the opportunity. But if it does, AWS has an awful lot going to recommend it as your next employer.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.